What the heck, and welcome back to Waste of Time, everyone. My name is Jordan, I'm your host, and this week we have a couple travel stories to tell you about the times I was the most nervous I've ever been whilst traveling. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of times I've been nervous in my life, but these are just two that come to mind, and we're going to dive right into that. But before we do that, let's just do a quick update of where I'm at right now. I'm still at home in Australia, obviously because of the whole coronavirus situation. And yeah, one thing about this podcast is I thought it would be a lot easier to sort of just run with, because I'm usually traveling all the time, and with traveling comes, you know, just like travel stories and document events and that sort of thing. But unfortunately, I've been stuck at home for a month now, and it looks like with the world situation, I'm going to be stuck at home for a few more months. So I hope that the quality of the podcast or the podcast itself continues to run. But you know, when the whole industry that you're a part of, the travel world, is just completely done, it is quite hard to sort of just like, I don't know, like I've come to a roadblock in my life right now where I'm like, I want to keep creating awesome content for everyone, but I don't really know how, I don't really know what, no one's really accepting travel at the moment, and that's just sort of my mindset right now. I mean, I'm not complaining, I'm happy to be chilling, but I still do want to be producing stuff, and I thought that this podcast would end up being a great weekly recap of all of my travel adventures that I'm going on. And unfortunately, there are none of those, probably for the majority of the year. So we're going to dive right now into two of my favorite stories from my travels in the last 5 years. Let me paint a picture and go back in time. It is a nice summer day. We're sitting in Paris in the summer of 2018. And my brother-in-law, Conrad, who you actually met on last week's episode of the podcast, he was in London, and I was like, hey, I'm in Paris, you're in London, I'll just come up to London and we can go on this epic trip. I actually planned this with a tour company because I was like, you know, this would be awesome if I can take Conrad on a bit of a tour around England and he can come and help be a second shooter for me, for my content, for my YouTube, for everything. And I thought that would be a great sort of like adventure for both of us to have, since I don't really travel with family outside of Australia. I really haven't seen many of my family members outside of Oz. So this would be great. I'm going to meet up with him. Everything's going to go sweet. At this stage, I was just like one bus right away. I think it's like an 8-hour bus. So I was like, sweet, jumped on a bus in Paris, and it's mid-afternoon. We make our way up to the border, which is the underground tunnel between Paris and London. I thought absolutely nothing of it because I've already done this pass. I've actually been on this bus like 3 or 4 times in the last year. So I'm like, this is easy. I've done this trip a million times. No sweat. Ah, but travel has a way of kicking you in the bum when you least expect it. So I should have seen that one coming. I get to the English immigration terminal in the France side because French side, because they don't want you to go under the tunnel and then pop up in England and then you have a denied visa and they'll have to send you back to France. So the whole bus gets off and we're all getting stamped through. Boom, boom, boom. It's quite easy. I'm an Australian citizen. I've got an Australian passport and I'm going to England. So Commonwealth brothers, we're basically the same. You'd think everything's fine, right? Completely wrong. This was during the time where Brexit was really starting to intensify. So I think that this might have had to do with something to do with the situation as well. But basically, they asked me a bunch of questions and they saw that I had a lot of stamps in my passport. You know, they were the classic things like, where are you staying? What are you doing? What do you do for a living? How much money do you have in your bank account? These sort of like random things like, do you have enough funds to support your time in London? When's your return ticket? All that sort of random stuff, which I had answers for because, you know, it's not my first rodeo. I've done this many times. So they didn't like my answers for some reason and they decided to take me into a room and I was like, what? This is kind of weird, because I told them I was a graphic designer. So I don't know, that just like sparked an interest in them or something, or maybe they just saw how many passport stamps I had and they said, you've been to London like twice in the last couple of months, what are you doing in England? So I was like, oh, this kind of sucks. I had to get all my stuff off the bus left without me and they said, don't worry, you'll probably just catch the next one. They come every hour. At this stage, I was chilling, but I'm in this room and I jump into this room and there is absolutely no windows. There is absolutely just 4 walls, nothing to do. There is a Bible, there is a Quran, and there is a water fountain, water bubbler, like so you can drink. And I was like, okay, whoa, this place doesn't look like just a friendly little hangout zone. This was like, yeah, I don't know. This is like a nice holding cell. And I was like, this is weird. They then took my phone off me and my passport off me. And they said, stay here. And I'm thinking, this doesn't seem good at all. And they were like, kind of, this girl was kind of aggressive. I don't know why. And I honestly hadn't even, the only interaction I've had with them was probably about 3 or 4 minutes of interaction, like not much talking at all. So I don't really know what I did wrong or who I don't know what I said that really made them upset, but whatever. That's where I'm at. This is my situation right now. Let's just roll with it. That's what you got to do in travel. Let's roll with it. I don't want to ramble on too much, so I'm going to get straight to the point. She basically comes back 1 hour later after not giving me any advice or anything. She comes back and says, hey, come with me. I go into an interrogation room where they have like the classic lamp in your face. They've got you and the other person and they take my fingerprints and all this stuff. And then I sit down with this person and they start drilling me about every single thing to do with my life, my finances, my siblings, anything and everything they can get their hands on. They're talking about, what do you do for work, blah, 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 like in real detail. And they said, show us your bank account. So I showed them my bank account. At this stage, I had around, I think, $15,000 in my bank account. So, you know, it was enough to survive. Like, it's not a lot of money, but it's still, like, a decent amount of money. I think that was roughly about £8,000 at the time because I'm obviously Australian dollars. So I'm thinking, yeah, this is my money. And then I go through all these questions and she's being quite like prudy. She's very standoffish and she really doesn't want me. She's really like, I don't know. She's quite aggressive for someone that I've never really met. So I'm like, whatever. So I do this interview. It takes about 20 minutes and I go back to my holding sort of zone. And I said, when can I expect an update? She says, oh, we're just going to finalize it and we're going to come back to you and let you know. So I'm like, okay, sweet. That's fine. Whatever. 2 hours go on. 3 hours go on. 4 hours later, four flipping hours later, they finally come back. At this stage, it's like 9:30 p.m. at night. It's like pitch black outside. And she comes back and she says, we are denying you entry to the UK. And I'm like, what the heck? It's already been like 5 hours. And I'm like, man, like you've just wasted 5 hours of my time. And I'll read you the letter that actually came with that. There was like an official letter just stating how I have breached my situation in England. So it went like this. You have stated that you are visiting the United Kingdom to attend an arranged tour with a UK-based company who will provide you with accommodation and food in receipt for your freelance professional photography and social media advertising. However, in the view of the fact that this is a UK-based company is funding your accommodation and travel costs, this relates to payment of kind activity. Visitors are not allowed to receive payment in these circumstances, therefore I'm not satisfied that you are a genuine visitor and I refuse you to leave under the paragraph whatever. Immigration, blah, 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 blah. You have sought entry under this provision, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, I refuse you entry to the United Kingdom. She then went on to say that she found a question and answer video from my YouTube 5 months prior saying that I had no money, that if I didn't work with brands this year, I wouldn't be able to travel anymore, which was kind of true, but I was being quite sarcastic saying like, oh, you know, if I don't work with a brand this year, I'm not going to be able to travel anymore. So I told her it was sarcastic and she says, well, it doesn't line up because you have $16,000 in your bank account, but 5 months ago, you said that you were going to be broke if you don't work with brands. This is enough evidence to say that you're working with this brand, blah, 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 and we're going to kick you out. And I said, I'm not earning any money. They're simply just giving me accommodation. But they weren't satisfied with that. So then I said, well, what if my grandma lives in London and she says that I can stay at her accommodation for as long as I want, as long as I do the dishes and mow her lawn every day? And they told me, the lady said, that is illegal. You cannot do that. And I said, my freaking grandma. And she said, no, that is illegal. So she wasn't having it. And I was like, this sucks. What the heck am I going to do? As I was quite new to the whole social media world, I didn't really understand what was going on because I had had government boards and tourism agencies that work with the government also let me in and come in and work on tourist visas with their country. So I've done this all over the world. I don't really understand at this point why it's illegal because I'm working online and this sort of thing. But it is technically illegal. And I think that, I don't know, let's just not get into that now. But the worst situation that is to come is the fact how they treated me afterwards, which was absolutely wild. They ended up handing me over to the French police, and the French police ended up putting me in a holding cell for another 2 hours. At this stage, it was 11 o'clock at night. I'd been in holding cells and out of holding cells for the last like 6-7 hours. And it was actually really, really emotionally, mentally, and physically draining. I was so tired. I hadn't had any food or anything. Anyway, after 2 hours or 1 hour, the French police then dropped me on the side of the road. And I said, what am I supposed to do here? And they said, there's a bus stop. And I said, when's the next bus come? Because it's 11 o'clock at night. Or 10 o'clock at night, I think it was. 10 o'clock at night. And I said, when's the next bus come? And they said, it comes at 9 a.m. in the morning. Okay, that's a really bad French accent. But they said, it comes at 9 a.m. in the morning, and that they had no idea what my situation is. They're just the ones that have to deliver me and drop me off here. That was their orders, and that's it. So they weren't helpful. They left, and I'm stuck at 10 o'clock at night in this random as area, trying to find a way to get anywhere to find accommodation. There's literally nothing around. It's just like a service depot. And yeah, so basically what happens next is I have to hitchhike at 11 o'clock at night in the pitch black on the French highway, which is so dumb, because if you know anything about French people, they don't really they're not really prone to picking up hitchhikers. And I'm in the middle of the night and I look gross. So I can't imagine anyone picking me up. Anyway, I was lucky enough to have a young couple pick me up and drive me 20, 30 minutes down the road to Calais. It was midnight when I got to Calais and everything was booked up. There was literally, on booking.com and Hostelworld, it literally said no bookings left. So I walked into all these hotels, there was nothing to do, I couldn't do anything. So I decided that it's best to take a bus back to Paris. But just before I took my bus back to Paris, I realized that this small seaside town actually has a ferry terminal that goes to directly to England every morning. So I was like, oh, actually, this could be kind of great. So I went into the French area of the terminal. I said, hey, man, this is my situation. And this guy actually knew the English immigration officers. And he was like, well, actually, let me give them a call and I can see what I can do. So he calls them up because I felt like I've been unfairly treated here. I'm not actually going to work. I just need to go visit my brother-in-law and this sort of thing. And I don't know. I just was like trying to still get into England, which was so dumb of me. But he calls up these English people and he says, oh, well, yeah, they're happy to meet you right now just to quickly run over what my options are. And I was like, oh, this is great. It's like 2:30, 3 a.m. in the morning. But I'm like, sweet, this is great. It was just a kilometer down the road. So I walk down the road. I knock on the door and another English immigration girl comes out and she goes, oh, hey, you're that guy on the phone. I said, yeah. She goes, come in. So I come in and she goes, oh, this is the situation. If I had my way, I would deny you entry. She just started going off at me. Like, I've never met this girl in my life. And she started going off at me saying like, they've denied you once. If I am on at 7 a.m. in the morning, I will deny you again. So we'll see you then. And I was like, whoa, what the heck? That is so aggressive. What is wrong with all these English people? So after walking to that setup, it was like 4 a.m. in the morning. And I was like, well, I just need to sleep at this stage. So I fell asleep on the floor of the ferry terminal in the town of Calais. I hope I'm saying that correctly. The next morning, I decided I'm still going to shoot my shot and I'm going to go to the ferry, buy a ticket, and I'm going to see if I can get on and just go through immigration. This is the most nervous I've ever been in my life because I've just slept literally nothing. I've just been shot down by everyone. I had to hitchhike. I've been dropped off by the police. I've been in all these different cell, like sort of holding zones. I've just been in a real mess because they're treating me like I'm some criminal. And I'm just some guy with a camera. So yeah, I end up going, buying a ticket. I get through the French immigration because the French immigration don't care that I'm leaving their country. Why would they? They stamp me through. I get to the English immigration. I am literally so nervous. I'm like shaking, giving my passport over to her. Anyway, some luck out of the whole world. She accidentally skipped past the massive stamp that has a big cross through it that's saying that I've been denied entry into England. She completely skipped past it because I don't know why, but she just stamped me through and I was on my way to England. And I was like, what is happening right now? Because the people gave me a huge stamp that says like no deny, no entrance to England. And I'm like, oh, this sucks. But this lady didn't even see it. So I jump on this ferry and I get all the way to England and I'm just like, have like the most relief I've ever had in my life. Like, oh, I've never been so thankful to be in London because everyone knows London's like my least favorite city in the world. And I arrive just on time, and I jump on the tour, and I do my week tour with my friend, I mean with my brother-in-law, and I work for that company. Technically, yeah, I'm taking photos for that company in exchange for food and accommodation, and everything goes super smoothly, and it's all good. So it left me questioning, like, why the hell did I get denied the first time, but they let me in the second time? I don't know, I feel like England is just a bit of a mess with the whole Brexit thing, and they were going a bit crazy. But also, now, because of that situation, every single time I go through an immigration, I am so nervous. Even though I know I have the correct visas, correct things, all of that, I get so nervous. It's like some post-traumatic stress disorder or something. I don't know, like, it just triggers this memory of this terrible experience that I've had with the English immigration. And I've actually been to England or the UK 5 times since this situation, and every single time I go to the UK, they have me on this file, so I get sort of blocked. I have to do a 1 hour meeting where I sit down, they ask me a bunch of questions, I have to prove a whole bunch of things before I'm allowed to be let in. So it's so annoying now, but at least I'm not blocked out of the England forever. And there you go, guys. That's one story probably from the other side of travel that not many people really talk about. But yeah, that was one of my least favorite moments in my life. I don't really understand how the social media world is going to coexist with these immigration laws and rules, because it's so easy to just, you know, I don't know. It's just so confusing to me. So I really still don't know what happens there. But that was my situation. And I'm sorry that it's probably a bit more drawn out than it should have been. But yeah, just reliving that, it's nice to document it for myself. The other time that I was really, really, really nervous, I'll quickly run this one through, is when I was driving through, I was actually camping through Yellowstone National Park in America with some friends, and we just had a van, and we were just like, we had tents, we were just throwing our tents up wherever and wherever we could. So the thing about the national parks in America is that everything's pretty organized, so if you don't get there early or you don't organize a spot to camp, there's no camp spots, so we had to try and find a sneaky way to camp without getting caught. So what we decided to do was we drove outside the Yellowstone National Park and just pulled up on this hill around this ridge, and we're like, no one's ever going to see us here. And it was like 11 o'clock at night again, and we're like, it's dark, let's just put the tent up, go to bed, wake up in the morning early, and get out of there. Which, you know, it's fair enough, that's what you do. That's what you think you should do, but heck, guys, this is something that you should probably look into more, because we were pretty naive here. Anyway, it's like midnight, the tent is set up, I'm in the bed. I'm in the tent with one of my Aussie friends, and he's sleeping, and I go, I'm just hearing, like, you know when you're just like, you know when someone's looking at you, you can feel that aura of like, someone's looking at me. I kind of felt that, but I thought it was like a ranger outside that was like coming around, like looking or something, because I was quite paranoid, and I was like, Jared, that's my mate's name. I was like, do you hear that? And he's like, no, what are you talking about? And I'm like, dude, there's someone outside, I can hear the footprints. And he's like, there's no one. And I was like, shh, just listen to this. And then we kept quiet, and all we heard was like this like weird, like slow but steady footprints just walking sort of in the grass and the rocks. And I'm like, oh man, we are so screwed. We're going to get like a $3,000 fine or something for like camping illegally. This is not going to be good. Anyway, we kept still. We just kept quiet. And then out of nowhere, all we hear is this. And I'm like, hang on, what the heck? It was a freaking bear. Me and my mate look at each other and we're like, holy crap, we are so screwed. There's a bear outside our tent. We're like whispering at this stage. We don't know if we should pipe up and be loud and make the bear scared, or if we should whisper and stay quiet so the bear leaves us alone. We were just, all these things were rushing through our minds. I have the audio somewhere. I tried to find this audio because I actually thought that was like the end of my life. So I took a video of us just being like recording the last minute. I turned it on and was like, I'm just going to record the last minute of our life just in case like someone finds the audio or someone finds this video in case we get vanished and we get eaten alive. Like, I was literally freaking out. Anyway, after a minute or two, we decide the best thing to do is to run back to the van. The van was about 100 meters away, and we thought, you know what? Maybe this is just like our only option. So We decided, we just got ready and we just bolted. We got out of the tent, we bolted to the van, and boom, we made it into the van. We were freaking out, but we were just so stoked we're in the van. I'm trying to like skip through this because I feel like the story is a bit boring, but holy flip, I can't express to you what kind of emotion runs through your brain when you're camping in a tent in the middle of the night and there is a bear just growling outside your tent. It's not a good feeling to have, and I don't recommend it. Anyway, the next morning we wake up and the tent is still there, nothing had been taken, and we walk and we wake up and we see a sign just near our tent saying bear hunting ground. And I'm like, oh, what the flip? It's a bear hunting ground, but it's not a bear hunting ground in regards to where it's a place where people come to kill bears, but it's where bears come to kill prey. This place was like a graveyard. There were bird bones and all these different types of rib cages and bones everywhere around our tent. So we just realized like, wow, we must be the dumbest people on earth. We just camped in the place where bears come to hunt and feast and eat. It was the craziest thing ever. At the time in the morning, there was no animals around, but there were so many. I've never seen so many rib cages of just like dead foxes and animals and all these random things. To this day, it sounds strange because I know bears like herbivores. They eat berries and forage for food and stuff. They don't like kill animals to eat. But there were so many dead animals around there. I don't know. So that was another moment that I was completely freaked out about, which make up two of the most nervous moments I've ever been whilst traveling. I don't even know why I told you these stories, but I just thought they're two interesting stories that I probably either will never get to really tell anyone. And I thought this is a cool platform just to give you an insight to what the other side of traveling is all about. I know these ones aren't as funny as the other stories that I've told, but they were two moments where I was just so nervous and I really didn't know what was gonna happen. Due to the current world situation with coronavirus, this podcast has been the only consistent sort of content that I've been uploading on the internet. It's kind of strange because I'm doing so little and I'm putting out so little that it's just like I'm quite in this weird state of mind. Usually I'm doing like 5 posts a week on Instagram, 1 video on YouTube, a bunch of TikToks and a podcast, and I'm doing Lifestyle Jordan content, and I'm just like, I'm constantly creating content. But right now it's just like the whole travel industry has really got me confused. So I am super appreciative of everyone that has tuned into this week's podcast and listened to A Waste of Time. Even if it wasn't the most interesting podcast ever, I really, really do hope you at least somewhat enjoyed it. You guys that listen to this podcast week in, week out are my favorite type of people, and you should know that. So if you have any other topics or anything you want me to discuss this next coming weeks, I am always open to ideas, so you can send me an email or you can send me a DM and just say, hey, what about this? I'm quite interested in this topic if there's anything you think I can bring. Apart from that, I think I've wasted your time more than enough this week, and I hope you guys enjoyed that. It can be quite a challenge to talk for 20 minutes straight, so I hope that wasn't too boring for all of you guys out there, and I will see you guys in the next one. What the heck? Share it with a friend, obviously. If you don't share this podcast with a friend, then what are you even doing with your life? And I'll see you next week. Goodbye.